to Audio Face. We're an irreverent podcast about music news and culture that mostly matters. I am Sean.
I'm Dan.
This is episode 238 of This Fine Established podcast.
We have two different ways of introing the podcast. I usually insult the podcast in some way because I'm editing it all the time. And you're like, oh, this fine established podcast about morals and values and the sanctity of choice in marriage. See what I did there? Anyways, hashtag no politics. This is a really, really nice episode. We have Renaissance by Beyonce. We have About Last Night by Mabel. And by Black Midi, we have Hellfire. So three very, very interesting albums. I'm very excited to review all of them, especially the Beyonce one, which will be coming up very shortly after a few singles.
Yeah. So first single we have Chance by Keithian.
Someone commented on our YouTube channel this week saying, what do we have to do to get Keithian reviewed on new singles? And that's literally what you do. So if you want something on new singles, we will listen to it most likely. It may not be immediately, but we'll add it to our list. We were just able to do it this week. So just comment on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/audiofacepod, or check us out on Twitter, check us out on Instagram, reach out to us however you can. We will find it somehow. Also, our email address is really easy, audioface@syndicate23.co. Anyways, about the song, Chance?
Yeah, so it's actually a really nice blend of neo-pop with normal pop and then some different influences throughout. It's a nice little tune. I like it a lot. Production's really nice and crisp, especially for a relatively unknown artist and stuff, or a newer artist. It's the quality of it is very good. I like the instrumentation and everything and all the influences he brings into it. It's actually pretty good. Now I want to kind of dive more into that record if whenever you get a chance to. I think it was Green Clouds that was released this year. So before... like a neo-pop track, fantastic. Vocals are really good, so I like it. Check it out.
You used to keep me on the sideline. Every now and then you told me I could swing, but you're hitting me up, giving it up. I guess you can act right.
Yeah, I really dig the production of a lot of Keithian's things. They really blend that line of that minimal stuff we're talking about, but also the really deep, bassy kind of trap stuff in there. He has a really nice voice. It reminds me of an album that we court packed last year. I really forget, but it was a kind of gospel-y inspired record, but it was also really nice. The name escapes me, but it sounds really, really good. And maybe I'll comment after this if I remember it on the post edit and the actual singles thing, but really good song. Next is a recommendation from John Summit, What a Life, featuring Stevie Appleton and Guz. And this is a really nice sort of EDM happy sort of summer track, not too offensive in that way or hypey typey, but definitely gives off that vibe.
No, it's a nice summer Vegas party house music. Solid things that I like a lot. Pretty decent EDM, production's good. That really nice high pace summer vibes EDM track. So it's really good. I like it a lot. Yeah. You're never gonna go wrong with me when it comes to house. So
more on that later. it's a really good track. John Summit has had quite a year just releasing song after song that has gotten a wild success. He's been on a tour recently that's been really widely seen. Thanks, Kyle. We love having extra producers here on Audio Face to help us kind of round things out here. And lastly, we have Despecha by Rosalía. I was perfectly doing that in the gringoest way possible. But this is Rosalia's first song since releasing Moto Mami earlier this year. Probably one of the best, like one of my top picks for album of the year this year. Just you're really wide and varied. And this first release is a really interesting sort of like kind of minimalistic. I'm glad it was released like not on the album because it sounds like it doesn't fit. But it Alone, it's a really nice track that again continues what Rosalia likes to do, which is experiment with different styles of Latin and Afro Latin.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I really like the production on this a lot. It's very simple, but there's a lot of layers to it if you listen closely. Especially there's a lot of like electronic sounds and stuff that are hidden there if you don't really pay attention to it and you just kind of listen passing. But if you're sitting there like really going through, there's a lot to dissect with that track. And I like it, especially, you know, coming off Moto Mami, it's a bit different with the sound, which is good. And it definitely does not fit on there. So it's a nice single coming off of a fantastic record earlier this year.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of mambo. It's got a little bit of like merengue. It's got, like, it's a really beautiful kind of mix. And so I'm really excited for, you know, this might be just like a throwaway kind of track. Rosalia is still kind of promoting Moto Mami as well. But there's so much creativity. Like, this is how we ended our review. There's so much creativity that she has. And at such a pop star level within Latin pop, doing all this creativity, she really is like one of the top in the game right now.
Yeah.
So that is the singles. So basically on Power Report, we are doing Power Report live. So we've done Power Report 2 weeks in a row. Jesus Christ. I did another episode with Caesar. We talked about the possible Democrats who could be running in 2022. We went over a little bit of the news, which it's such a blur to me right now, but things be wild. Oh, we got to dunk on Kyle Kulinski more because every single week he makes a video defending Joe Rogan for being a liberal and we get to make fun of it. That was a thing we talked about. Apparently there might be a deal. The Democrats might do something. Climate change funding might actually happen. I'm going to absolutely hold your breath because Sean.
Be shocked if that actually happens.
Exactly. Like, Sean's been very busy, wasn't able to join us that Thursday evening, but if you can, check us out on twitch.tv/danfromtheweb, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Going to try to do those every week leading up to the election. But even Sean knows, like, no one paying attention to Democratic politics. It's important to know the details, but you can't celebrate until it's actually signed and being passed because of a million ways this bill can die in Washington, D.C., so to speak. Anyways, become a Syndicate 23 member to get all of this content in one nice, shiny place with no ads. And yeah, thank you, Peter Stone, for doing all of this mastering and editing of all this stuff. Anyways, we'll begin with the first album of the week. Sean, are you ready?
Let's do it. So, first album of the day, serving it up Gary's way, Bean. It's Beyoncé's Renaissance, 16 songs, hour and 2 minutes long. So, is this the first Beyoncé record we get to do on the podcast, or do we do?
I think we did some Yeah,
because Lemonade was 2016. I couldn't remember if Lemonade was 2017 or 16 because you had like some stuff like the
Lion King things. There was a live album, which we didn't really focus on because like Beyonce is Beyonce. She needs literally no introduction. And this is still kind of, you know, Beyonce in being a prominent music artist for 20 years now has done a really excellent job of being the top, if not one of the top pop artists, performers in the musical game right now in the world. She's done a really good job of changing things up and changing her sound here. But even Renaissance is a really, really bold step forward that I think solidifies things that, thinking back a lot while reviewing this record and while thinking about Audio Faces like in totality, we've talked about how electronic music has been at the forefront of what pop music was becoming. But we really weren't feeling that until, I think, Dua Lipa's Future Nostalgia was a really big point where you got this like 80s kind of dance kind of thing. Lady Gaga, Charlie XCX, a number of artists have continued to do that on the pop scene. You've started to see a little bit of that in rap. A lot of that started to show up in R&B. And now this year, with releases from Drake and now this, it's becoming more and more clear that maybe the sound of the 20s, or at least this early 20s, as we're coming out of the 10s, is this disco-y dance. And this album specifically, very much Chicago and Detroit house-inspired, like, music, so to speak. but, like, overall, just, like, dance is really starting to percolate in a lot of music. And I think that's really interesting. Beyonce's take on it is a lot to go into. Overall, very good. I wanted to know what your thoughts are. Later in the video, we're going to talk about how this is like a 3-album project.
Okay.
But like it's all the way at the end, so I want to reference that.
Yeah, so this is a record that's going to take me a while to really digest fully. Because it is definitely a giant pivot. And I know, like, talking with a lot of, like, members of my gym and stuff who are big Beyonce fans, some love it, some hate it. So you have a lot of, like, disparity between people and stuff in there that maybe because they don't like they don't come from a house music background or anything, or they don't really listen to electronic music and stuff, you know. And then she comes out with this, and I've seen a lot of varying opinions on the release so far of Renaissance.
Really?
For my opinion, yeah, because I know a lot of Beyonce fans because my gym is full of them, and varying opinions, big time varying opinions. So with that, I actually think it's a good record. With the whole...
I think it's her best record in years. I'll just like say that. And I really did enjoy Lemonade, but like...
I think it's going to take me a while to digest it to see where it is in her like discography. It is definitely like... Production-wise and the way it flows, it's fantastic. Because the one thing that kind of bothered me, like with Drake's record and a couple other of the housey records, is they don't really play through very well. They're not, the track order and the listing isn't necessarily good. Like sometimes it drags on too long, or the production of it doesn't hold out throughout the whole record. Might be top heavy or bottom heavy, whatever it is. The thing with Renaissance is, it flows like a list. It flows like you're playing a show or something. So, like, example, going from Cuff It to Energy, like, the transitions in that, fantastic. Because you don't even really realize the song transitions half the time, because sometimes it'll just flow right into it. And it feels like you're at a DJ set or something. You know, someone who's really good at DJing will mix it that well, and it just rolls right in. You don't hear the cuts. You don't hear the transitions. And you have that throughout this record, which is... pretty impressive to do.
On that point, I now like Break My Soul a lot more. It's another one of those things where I like a single a lot more in the context of a record.
100%.
So where the now 3 times I've managed to hear this record in the like one day we've gotten to review this, I have gone back, and before I listen to Break My Soul, I play Energy before Break My Soul because I love that transition. The end of Energy is made to be in the beginning of Break My Soul, and it really ties those together because the sampling, the kind of like shouting, the release the anger, release the all that kind of stuff is kind of characteristic to Break My Soul only, and not really, but like that motif really needs Energy and yes, Cuff It to kind of flow through into it. So I really, really love that.
Yeah, you and me both. And like the thing too is when it has the breaks in the record, it's perfect. So example, if Alien Superstar, Cuff It, Energy, Break My Soul, all of like those 3 tracks in the middle of the record, the beginning and middle of the record, they flow very well together. After Break My Soul, it doesn't have a transition to Church Girl. It stomps and then you have Church Girl. She gon' shake that ass and I'm pretty, take a bit it. So get your ex up, get your math up. I'ma back it up, back it up. I'ma bust it, back it up. I see them great sweats, I see a blank check. I finally found the earth, she smiles. Swimming through the oceans of tears, we cry. And that's perfect because with that song, it doesn't need to have it the like... for like that slower-ish and more of a trap beat and everything with it, it's a nice little pause on it. So that way you don't just get, you know, an hour and 2 minutes of a house record or something, which in this day and age, you're not necessarily going to want. So, but with that, I really like the production on all the tracks in here. I think it flows fantastic. It sounds like an album is supposed to sound like, you know, it's just everything is meant to, what is there is meant to be there. There isn't really one song out of place. It's not bottom nor top heavy, in my opinion. And for someone who's been making music for 20 years and is a huge pop star, Beyonce's like, she's one of the top by far.
Yeah.
And with the whole like pivot that we've been seeing a lot this year in the past couple years, some artists definitely do it better than others. And I don't want this to become a trend just because, you know, big name artists are doing it. You know, I don't want it to more people try to copy these records and stuff, you know, make music that you want to make and everything. And I don't want it to just saturate the market to where, you know, Drake and Beyonce now flood the whole music world. And now we get just a bunch of half-assed EDM records, which is my one worry of some of these. But for Renaissance, I think it's a return to form for Beyonce. And yeah, I'm very pleasantly surprised with it.
I mean, it's weird because like, I actually really like I don't think like, it's weird for me to say like return to form for Beyonce because I don't really feel like Beyonce never left.
I didn't say return to form. I should say return to form, but like a good return for her because her last album was 6 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
And to be able to keep it at such a high level for 20 years is impressive. So,
I mean, like I would count the Lion King thing, but like not in the much same way that I don't really count Daft Punk's Tron. Like it's this kind of same deal. Like, exactly. I don't count the movie.
Or it's like example. It's like Black Panther's Kendrick.
I was just about to say
I don't get, like, example, Mr. Morale, Big Steppers is a return for Kendrick, like a huge return for Kendrick.
Yeah, yeah, no, I wouldn't necessarily count that in Kendrick's discography because it's like a lot of a movie time.
Not really.
It's like, yeah.
Even though some of the tracks like X and so on are great, I wouldn't do that. And the same thing with Lion King for Beyonce. Even some of the tracks are fantastic, it's not a specific project to Beyonce's, like just her.
It's not a true musician's project that we can like categorize with everything else we do on the podcast.
Exactly.
So yep. Like we're doing a lot of jumping around here. Fuck it, our podcast. Yep. I think I do like, there's a point you were saying where there's songs that break up the nature of the record, like Church Girl, for example, is a bounce kind of track, but it's closer to trap, so to speak, where it kind of breaks up and goes, okay, this isn't like a really long house record, so to speak. Because exactly, I do think that would be kind of very difficult and like hard to be palatable for a lot of people. But then you get tracks like Virgo's Groove. Which is a love letter to all the house people. Dude, it's like, hey, I'm gonna
yes, this whole review, by the way, I've just had that shit on repeat. I hope you know.
Love it.
Because it's such a good track. I love it.
Yeah. And like, no, go into it.
And I was going to say, because the theme of, like, example, those little pivots in the middle of the record, it makes the record feel like it feels shorter than it is. Because of tracks like that. Because if you just had, you know, Energy and Break My Soul for an hour and 2 minutes, after a while you'd be like, okay, we get it. But with her, you know, branching out and doing a bunch of different sounds in one record, but still making it, you know, up-tempo, more EDM focus, more Detroit House influences of Virgo's Groove and so on, you still get it to be... to feel our album is the perfect length for this, which is something that I think is impressive to do in the setting that she made it. So
yeah, and I usually say on Audio Face, in 2022, there's no need for this album to be this long. In 2022, there's
no, and yeah, like, but there's only maybe a couple artists we want to have on records, but it's I could count off honestly on my hand of how many artists I'd want a Latin record from.
Yeah, and I think there's certain artists I believe earn the ability to do a long record. Beyonce is certainly 100%. One of those. And I think that Beyonce does some really tasteful callback motifs to a lot of modern music in here. I think one of my other sleeper favorite songs is near the end is just nonstop bangers. I mean, I think Move and Heated are nice songs in the middle, but Thick is really great. I really want to talk about All Up in Your Mind because I think there are little bits of callbacks to hyperpop within that. It's not too glitchy, it's not too crazy, so definitely a Beyonce fan would be down with it, though. And what are you going to say?
I said it's almost like she got inspiration from Billie Eilish style of pop music, where it's like that, that fine line between hyper-pop and modern pop, as I like to kind of try to categorize this new sound that we're getting.
Yeah, I see the DNA in a lot of later Sophie work as well. You've got to call that out too. Yeah, and so, rest in peace to her, because it's a shame that we didn't get to see the rest of her musical career is she was growing that. But you can see aspects of it here, and a much more, a palatable for a pop artist thing. I think a lot of Beyonce fans will grow onto this. I mean, the internet's very much I saw a tweet that was anyone who slanders Beyonce today will find out that someone's trying to log into their Twitter account. They'll get oh, we need to verify your identity. We detected unauthorized access. They'll try to dox your house and shit. But Beehive, wild. Crazy fans, right? But
super crazy.
I feel folks in your gym out there, folks who, I think even, we had a similar version of this conversation with Drake, right? Where, is it a bad album? Is it a good album? Is it something that Drake fans are just not used to because it's a different pivot and a different sound, calling back to other genres of music that maybe this artist's fans aren't used to consuming on a regular basis? Or I think there's a lot of things going on here, and I tend to lean towards that latter analysis. That this is not saying anything about all the Beyonce fans. This is a very people are taking this in a lot of different ways. I think it's a good, this is much better conversation than the Drake record. I think the Drake record was just very fun to dunk on Drake fans with. Sorry, C's. Love you, C's. But I think that this record, there's so much inspiration. I mean, you have artists and producers on here. The credits list is really interesting because you have a lot of really thoughtful sampling from all over the spectrum, from a lot of different genres to things that are callbacks in house music.
Look at the last track, Summer Renaissance. Donna Summer's I Feel Love, produced by Giorgio Moroder, one of the earliest house music tracks that made house what it is today, And I heard that this last track and I was like, this is really cool to do that and, do her own version of it in a way, but, still stay true to the original track and the original production in a way while still making it her own. I thought that was a really cool ending of it, of the record. And normally I don't normally like covers or something. Every once in a while, I like some here or there. That would be a very interesting conversation, by the way. Side note, I would love to have on the podcast is covers of songs that we like, because there's some covers I think are actually better than the original songs. But
yeah, I'm not the biggest covers guy, but there's one really big cover that moves me emotionally every single time. That is Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Like,
I actually want to have a conversation on it one day. But yeah,
join.syndicate23.co to get all these really cool music conversations. These conversations are two-way streets. We have them with members as well, by the way. And you can help support AudioFace and all the stuff we do. Join.syndicate23.co. But yeah, I really thought it was a thoughtful. I enjoy when artists, especially really, really big artists, use their space to be thoughtful and call back to the legends, the OGs, the originals. Like in rap music, there's always a controversy when you feel like older artists aren't calling back or giving enough respect to newer artists. I'm sorry, like newer artists aren't, sorry, the other way around. Newer artists aren't giving enough respect to older artists. And I don't think you like have to constantly be doing that all the time, but when you're making as big of a statement like this, it should be clear that like this statement isn't being made purely out of the genius of this artist. Like, of course, there's genius in putting it all together and doing it in the way she performs and sings and executes it. Really, Beyoncé's execution is second to none. But to know that this is an inspiration, this is music as a process where you get inspired by a lot of things, it all comes together in one way, I think it's important to show that in as broad a way as you can.
Very much agreed.
Yeah, so overall, I think there's a lot to go over in this album. I think it's just excellent. If you don't like it, give it a couple more listens. If you're a dance music aficionado, you will appreciate that someone like Beyoncé is doing the damn thing. And this will make up for like Drake, by the way, who, again, I just thought it was a lackluster record. There are moments on this Beyoncé record that I felt were muted. I just like those are just songs I didn't really mention or go over very much, but I felt like a lot of this was very cohesive and worth, you know, putting the Beyoncé brand on it. It's like a seal of quality, so to speak. So I felt like it was really good. And this is coming from someone who like my personality is just against anti-hype in general, but it's like I don't get that hyped around Beyoncé as around much people do. Like, okay, like, yeah, she's a cool artist. She has like cool pop songs, billionaire, like cool, like whatever, right? But like I don't like get into it that much, but I am very, very impressed by this record.
You and me both.
Arbitrary scale.
Arbitrary scale this week is Shapes. We do arbitrary scales on AudioFace because our review is our review, and rating scales are not the best way to show our appreciation of a record because every record is arbitrary. Every review is different. My review from 5 years ago on one record might be very different to how I feel on this different record, but they might both get the same scale if I use a normal scale. So we're doing Shapes today. It could be any shape you want, man. I'm just gonna not Ed Sheeran's shape of you. That's all of this.
I'm going to. Do you have a shape idea for this?
This is a parallelogram.
Okay. Just walk us through. Walk us through the parallelograminess of this record.
The parallelogramming. Oh my god, that's hard to say.
The parallelogramming.
Because it's a shape. It's a shape I like because you know you get the edges just right, and it's a very unique shape in the way that it kind of goes out. And it's very symmetrical. Which
I also like.
Us Germans appreciate.
It's a four-sided shape, which are, you know, dance music is traditionally that 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4 kind of thing. So yeah. That's very smart.
Yeah.
I'm picking the isosceles triangle.
Just normal isosceles, not isosceles, right? Just normal isosceles triangle.
It's a normal isosceles triangle, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Box standard. I like it.
Yeah. Not that it's standard, but it is a well executed triangle. It's not equilateral because, you know, that's just way too refined and perfect. This feels like it has personality. It has like edge. It has like groove. But it's not like one of those, you know, like obtuse or acute triangles, which is like a little bit too, hey, that's a little modern art for me. No, no, I need a little bit of meat and potatoes with my
lips. Yeah, so, I mean, okay.
Anyways, don't you love arbitrary scales? There is one other thing I really want to mention. So Renaissance is just apparently part one of a completed three-act project. Okay, The Weeknd. No. But in Beyoncé writing a letter to her fans, part of which I'll read now, I'll say, this three-act project was recorded over 3 years during the pandemic, a time to be still, but also a time I found to be the most creative. Creating this album allowed me a place to dream and to find escape during a scary time for the world. allowed me to feel free and adventurous in a time when little else felt moving. My intention was to create a safe space, a place without judgment, a place to be free of perfectionism and overthinking, a place to scream, release, feel freedom. It was a beautiful journey of exploration. I want to give a special thanks to Rumi, Sir, and Blue for allowing me the space, creativity, and inspiration, kids, and a special thanks to my beautiful husband, Muse, Paul, who held me down those late nights in the studio. A big thank you to my uncle, Johnny. He was my godmother and the first person to expose me to a lot of the music and culture that serves for an inspiration for this album. Kind of like what we were saying in the review of calling back to not just your actual elders, but your roots musically. Back to the letter. Thank you for all the pioneers who originate culture, to all the fallen angels whose contributions have gone unrecognized for far too long. This is a celebration of you. Thank you to my Parkwood crew, my Slab Dream, all the talented producers involved. Mama, I love you. To my father, my OG, my first teacher, you inspire me in every move that I make. I love you. To my fans, I hope you find enjoy this music. I hope it inspires you to release the wiggle, ha, and to feel as unique, strong, and sexy as you are. Love y'all deep, B. Yeah, kind of just like saying all of the right things there. I can't help but think of, like, especially like the hyperpop thing I just said, like fallen angels there. Like, we can't know if it's exactly about Sophie, but like, especially in house music and EDM, there are a lot of people. Avicii's another example who like are massive artists who unfortunately pass on too young to even see. They see just the beginnings of their massive success and influence on the industry, but they don't even see like the massive ways it comes from there. So, you know, it's a great little thing, but a 3-act project. She's Beyonce, so she can literally announce it on a Wednesday and then like everyone just listens to it. So it's, who knows, she can do whatever she wants. She's like one of the biggest artists in the world. It'll be probably really decent, but there are two points that I want to bring out that are mostly Sean's points, that I don't want other artists to chase this Beyonce Drake style pivot to dance that everyone's doing. You know, everyone's like, you know, it's inevitable, it's going to happen, but you have to be really thoughtful in doing it, because it's very easy to do it in a kind of a hacky, cheap way, Drake. And it's very easy to do it in a it's much harder. But there is a path and there are steps and ways to do it in a way that's thoughtful, that's respectful, but still pushes things a little bit forward. I'm honestly not
Here's
sure.
Here's our 5-step program, how to make house music.
Sean and I start a pyramid scheme. but I think the Beyonce-Drake dichotomy is something I'll be using, making an example of in the coming weeks, months, and years of Audio Face.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on?
Moving on. Second record of the day, Serving It Up, Gary's Way Bean. We have About Last Night by Mabel. It is 15 songs, 42 minutes long. About to sneeze.
Bless him. So there
I hate
are...
when it doesn't come.
you and your nose, man. So there's like a mixtape by Mabel. There's High Expectations, mm-hmm. which was like the first album. And Mabel has been known for like working with EDM artists in that way, where like she is that really good like EDM voice of like a good like female, like I'll just say it, like white vocalist who like is able to work really well with dance music in that way. And so this has happened in electronic music a lot, where you have these like breakout artists who do solo projects based on their vocals. And like many of those projects, I like some of the execution. Some of the other execution feels a little too poppy, a little too generic. But I found myself, I listened to this a little bit before the Beyonce record, and thankfully so, because I think if they came out in the same week, it'd feel a little bit different. But and that's a notable kind of like weird time bias of all these different things. But I thought overall it was pretty decent. What about you?
Yeah, it's okay. It just sounds like some of the tracks sound like Katy Perry pop from like 2009. So
that's
you know,
a great comparison. Yeah,
yeah. Like example, like Animal and Let Them Know. Like that's immediately the sound I got from that. And I was like, oh man, all right. Or like Lady Gaga 2010 era or something. So it's like.
Girl, it's me, bitch, I'm an animal, animal, I'm an
There's some okay tracks in here, but some of it can get very, very generic in the production. Let Them Know is the one that also pops up to me where I'm like, okay, I've heard this song for 13 years. I don't need to hear another version of it. So there's some decent things in here. I think some of the feature tracks are decent. And towards the middle of the record, you have like Good Luck with Jack Jones and Galantis, which is like a decent pop track, I thought. You have Overthinking of 24K Golden, which was an interesting, interesting feature.
Disappointment never end. I'm dying. Oh, baby, oh, oh. Without you, I can't feel the heat of the night.
I tend not to like 24 karat golden, actually.
We say?
I tend not to like 24 karat golden. I don't think we've given them great reviews in this podcast.
No, we have not. Exactly. So that's why I was like, well, that's interesting to hear how that sounds. I thought that was actually a decent, like, modern pop song that you can hear, and it's passable, but overall the record, it's just, it's hard for me to really get dive into it too much because it's very general pop that, you know, you could put onto an Abercrombie and Finch and, you know, just walk around in it.
Oh, ain't that the truth. The Overthinking especially, I think we have the same sort of like It's All Right feeling, like overall, where like, okay, this plays in some place, I don't like hate it with disgust, but this feels like it could have played somewhere a couple years ago. And it is a single that I think did come out quite a while ago, actually.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Actually, no. It came out in just May. But I think that just musically, it sounds like a song that could have come out around the same time as like two Weeknd albums ago. Like,
it sounds like Starboy era Weeknd or something, you know?
Yeah, or like After Hours, like the album like right after that, I think.
Okay, yeah.
If I think I have it right. There's so many Weeknd albums that the Weeknd's in his own like trilogy, right? So I think, yeah, After Hours is the one I'm thinking about, not Dawn FM. Yeah, it sounds like it could be like from that kind of era. But I think there are also parts of this album that I think are more like promising to represent it better. I liked When the Party's Over.
AM kids are going to school. I'm still in my party dress. I look like a fool when the party's over. When the party's over. When the party's over. When the party's over. So
I think it was a good mix of the vocals and when, like, I think it was a good mix of the vocals going into kind of like a deeper, like, slower aspect of things while still giving you a little bit more variety in a pop song. I feel like every pop artist has, like, one or two of these deep into their records. They don't really get that much play, so to speak, because they don't have many features, tend to be slower. But they show the artist, like, flexing their artistic muscle a little bit more with production and vocal. And I think there it mixes a little bit more. Because it feels like less like a generic beginning, how the song's going to go. It's definitely not groundbreaking by any means, but it feels a lot more like, you know, like something I could actually listen to in an album regularly and go, oh, okay, that's a little bit different.
Yeah. The issue is it's, you know, 2022 of the year of our Lord and Savior, Audioface. And with all of the pop music that is coming out now, all of it is, when I say all of it, the majority of it now is actually stepped up their game. Like, so many big name pop artists have really stepped up their notches in production and lyricism, in making concept records and doing different pivots and stuff. This sounds like your run of the mill standard pop album that you've been getting for like the past 15 years. So with that, it's just very bland and generic. And within that, it's there's only so much you can do with that sound before it's just like, yeah, I've heard this before. It's not going to do it. So I don't know if I'm being too harsh, but yeah, that's just how I feel of the record.
No, I definitely kind of got the same thing. Like, it's decent, it's okay, but it's not... In a time when pop music is... Yeah, not... there are pop artists who are really killing it out there right now. We just reviewed a Beyonce record, for Christ's sake. And I'm trying not to, like, compare the two too much because that's just, like, a really unfair comparison here. But there are indie artists that are doing indie pop that feel a little bit more... adventurous, a little bit more like they're trying different things there and accomplishing things and executing it a little bit of a better way. And, you know, indie pop has its own kind of issues with stagnation as well. But I think even that genre gives a little more variety than what this is, which feels like a little bit too much of a callback to the early 10s without, and, you know, the later 10s without enough of an evolution to justify the difference.
Yeah, I think that's actually a pretty good summarization of it. Arbitrary scale this week. Do arbitrary scales because rating scales are bullshit. We have geometric shapes. This is a rhombus.
That's so like generally my favorite.
It's basically like
it's an equilateral parallelogram. So not all parallelograms are rhombuses, but all rhombi. Are parallel.
All rhombi are quadrilaterals.
I rhombi.
I rhombi. Yeah, so they, the four sides have the same length, pretty much, from what I remember for a rhombus. I like how the way rhombuses look.
I like just the name rhombus. This is going to be...
You're a rhombus.
This is going to be a, hang on. What's the name of that shape? This is an octagon. How you know octagon?
Oh, like stop sign?
Yes. Yes. Basically because I do like the symmetry of the shape, but it's very it's everywhere. It's a little bit too
It is everywhere.
It is a little too clean, so to speak. There isn't a lot of like adventuring in there. And I would like to encourage artists to stop making music that is very, you know, fits into that mold. Do something different. There's more than one way to make music. Pop music especially.
Always.
I'm now done with the sign.
Cool.
And now, last album.
Last album of the day brought to you by Gary's Way. We have Black Midi's Hellfire, 10 songs, 38 minutes long. Hellfire came out a couple weeks ago, I like to say, so we're finally just now getting to this record. Black Midi is an interesting group that we've reviewed a little bit here on the podcast. We did Cavalcade last year, and I think we did another record of theirs before too.
I know we did Cavalcade for sure. We may have done like singles or like a music recommendation here or there.
Did we do Schlagenheim?
I don't think we did actually, because I just don't remember any of that. But I know we did Cavalcade for sure. Anyways, but yeah,
we did that last year.
I'm gonna coin this term, you know, and this might evolve, you know, as like all the different genres we name here on Audioface do. Chaos rock. Like
that's a great explanation of this record, because I remember the first time I listened to Hellfire, I literally go, what the hell am I listening to right now? Is this like Death Grips gets a bunch of Les Pauls and just goes on acid and goes crazy, or what?
Going, going, gone, each day quicker, each day gone lost. The more the less useless, that's that, no more. I mean, yeah, the door is open, come in and wash away the sin. No more lazy swans, this sand pickers had enough. No nail grows yet, all toes now green. Both eyes blank screens, eyeballs of pig, robot ear gone. Bringing silence back again, make a tick, tick, a shiver, a lip, lips, and stiffness, a kick, limb, a limp, useless, crack! Gone, no need, when stiff, useless, when needed, limp. Rhythmia, the hideous thing, gets it right in the classroom.
But it's like Black Country, New Road. It's like there's a lot of other arts. There's a lot of other acts that are coming up right now that it's a mix of the attitudes of punk, but it's a lot noisier. But you have, you know, callbacks to things that are known more in indie. And of course, indie is now a cross-pollination of multiple different genres of music, from alternative to electronic to synth things. You don't get all those like latter stuff in here. This isn't a continuation of our electronic dive in audio phase. This is the end now for something completely different segment of audio phase for sure this week. But Hellfire is definitely a continuation, a little bit of a maturation of that chaotic cacophony of sounds that is Black MIDI. It begins with this like spoken word thing that sounds like Hellfire in the beginning literally sounds like a Kendrick Lamar To Pimp a Butterfly interlude. Like, it's just speaking like mad quickly. And it's not just like speaking quickly, but it's poetic. The song choice or the lyrical choice in there is thoughtful and has a rhythm to it, and almost like a Shakespearean kind of way, where there's a rhythm to the words that are chosen. It's really thoughtful and it's done really well and matches the chaos of the intensity that really gets you into the record. I think it's a really great beginning song, and if you don't like that song, you're not going to like anything else in the record. So it's a good way to begin the record.
Yeah, that's a great way to say it. Chaos rock is a great way to explain it, because that's exactly what it is. Because Sugar/Sue. Is like, it reminds me a little bit of Death Grips is Online, with that sound of just like, it's just like insane. It's like you're mixing extremely fast rock with show tunes and like really random stuff, and I'm like, what the fuck am I getting? But I'm okay, because I'm here for the ride, baby. Let's go, Hellfire. And like the first listen of this record, I absolutely hated it. I was like, why are you making me listen to this? But then like the second and third listens through, because it's actually sometimes a nice thing of getting a couple weeks with the record to actually appreciate it. I'm like, okay, there's actually some really cool sounds and different things in here. I'm not going to super dig it, nor am I ever going to play this for anybody in my life other than you or me, because they're going to be like, what is wrong with you?
Hey, Sean, want to hang out, get some coffee, play some Black MIDI and Earl sweatshirt? clear out the coffee shop. Make sure we have no friends.
You want to play some Government Plates and Hellfire at the Coffee Bean? Clear out house. But it's like, it's just a fun record at the end of it, where they're having fun just creating a space. You know, example, big thing for me is they made a decent record last year. Cavalcade, you know, we both enjoyed, right?
Yeah.
We thought it was a pretty good record overall. So within that, it's like, you know what? Just have some fun, work on some of those like experimental tracks you had in like the middle of Cavalcade, where you have some of them experimenting with that like faster tracks and everything. I'm not exactly sure when or how they were written, but what I'm thinking is a lot of these might have been excerpts from Cavalcade. You know, your Amnesiac to your Kid A, where it's like they don't necessarily fit in it, but they're experimenting with it, and these somehow still are cohesive enough to make a record with it. And like some of the jazz interludes and other little things are cool within a rock setting, because you don't really get to hear it within other artists to really experiment with that within rock. Because a lot of rock that we've been getting, you know, is pretty much trapped in this little sphere of conservatism of their own rock. Like, they don't want to push the boundaries. There are a few artists that are naturally pushing the boundaries of it, but more often than not, especially within that sphere, you're not getting that. And that is a cool thing with Hellfire, is there's sounds in here I've never heard in rock sounds and I didn't think would ever belong. But now it's like, I hope that other artists and other people can listen to this and get a couple sounds, a couple ideas that then can lead to some really cool music. And even maybe for Black MIDI too, you know, this is just a canvas for them. And maybe in their next record, the next LP, which is hopefully 2 years from now or something like that, they take some time to make it. Is really different and really cool within that. So I think it's I think it's good.
I think most, you know, post-punk quote-unquote bands, maybe you can even consider Viagra Boys in this group. Also shout out to Fontaines DC, who I put in a music recommendations episode recently, who I've been also really enjoying. But they have
another post-punk group too, which does have an album coming out later this year.
They have some singles that we have on the bubble that we might have to do next week as well. But
yes.
I have no problem with this group of artists, like the artists we just mentioned. Their ability to transform themselves record to record or just in a really short amount of time is really something that I think other genres could take a cue from. It'd be really interesting if, you know, in the State of Music 2023, Lord help us conversation, we have a thing where, like, wow, post-punk might be kind of the new subgenre of indie where it's pushing things forward the most. That'd be really interesting. I don't know if we're there yet, but that's a bubbling take. That's a bubbling take.
Yeah.
I feel
that's
more
not a bad take.
I'll just say it. Like, considering the Grammys, even an album. We talked about that last year, right? We are among one of, like, the fingers on the pulse of what's happening to music on a week-by-week basis, because we're checking in week-by-week, almost like religiously, so to speak. There's other, many other critics and things like that that are doing that as well, but after 5 years, we have a good amount of data of going, oh, this thing that's happening right now, we said that in 2017. We're like, oh, Sean called that in 2019. We're like, oh, Dan said that in 2018. Like, there's someone part where it's like self-adulation, but there's another part of like, oh, we're good at this. We does this. So
we does this podcast.
I am. We redo the whole network as we made it and we does this.
Oh, we does this. It's just all the four of us just shooting the shit.
We gets bought by us. Anyways.
Like we work, trademark the word we.
Really fast as we're going through things. Yeah, you mentioned how chaotic Sugar Sue is. I really like Dangerous Liaisons, which I keep wanting to say.
God damn it.
Dangerous Legions.
I scoured the poor hall, the strip bars, the casinos. No man skinny enough to vaguely resemble my friend who said we're meeting the queen of day. 10 grand in your pocket, don't be late. No sign of the black clad gangman. Front page news, random killing. No gang affiliation.
I was waiting to the end to make this joke, but Dangerous Liaisons is what I feel like. What I think Disneyland would feel like if you're on speed.
No, I think it's an acid trip at Disneyland, honestly.
Acid trip at Disneyland? Okay. Because it's like, you know, you hear all the show tunes and stuff, but they don't quite sound right because you're tripping balls, and then you get on a roller coaster, and then you're just like.
It's a bad acid trip at Disneyland for sure. It's a bad acid trip.
Oh. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
You see Buzz Lightyear and you're just like, just bam-izing.
My body, my choice, Buzz. Arbitrary scale this week. We do arbitrary scales every week on Audio Face because our review is our review. And
hey, man.
Our review is our review. And I just stopped myself from saying something so wild, man.
Yeah, please don't.
Anyways, we prefer to compare it to items and objects and events that we change every single week than an actual rating system, because that would make things too easy for people to flame us in the comments for. Anyways, as for shapes, I'm going to give this the Decagon.
Decagon, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's got 10 sides, and it doesn't have to be like an easily, like, you know, even shape. You could do whatever you want with that fucker. Like, you can, you know, scramble it. You got 10 little, like, pivots to make fun of, to work with, all right? So you can just do whatever you want to, brother, sister, whoever you want to identify as, sibling, step-sibling.
This is a scalene triangle.
Oh, wow. So I was just insulting obtuse triangles and things like that.
Yeah, but this is a scalene triangle because it's just fucking weird looking. I remember any time in geometry doing scalene triangles, I'm like, why does this look like this?
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a triangle that just, like, deflated, but is still trying to hold on to life quite so. And, you know, the Egyptians used good stuff for the scaling triangles to use as ramps. So.
Oh, works. Audio Face, secretly a history podcast. What does it mean to play us out?
Dude, I want to have my own history podcast, goddammit. That would be fun as fuck.
You do know the long game. You do know the long game for all podcasts is you start doing one thing, like, you know, music or MMA, and then gradually the podcast grows and you just talk about whatever you want.
One day, man. One day. This has been Audio Face. Thank you for listening to Audio Face. You could find us at Audio Face Pod on all social medias to get up with the know-how.
Get up with the know-how. Go to youtube.com. Like,
yeah. youtube.com/audiofacepod. Comment in the videos, because, you know, that's how you guys get music recommendations. That's why we got Keithians on here and everything. So keep doing that, because we look at that stuff. So let us know what you want us to review. If there's anything, you know, let us know what your opinions are on these reviews as well, because we like to hear it. And it's a very interesting conversation because everybody's different. And you can follow me, SW Suarez, if I trust you. You can follow Dan, whether he trusts you or not, at Dan from the Internet on Instagram, at Dan from the Web on Twitter.
This is Dan from the Internet on TikTok, and Dan from the Web on Twitch as well.
There you go. Neither of those I do, so yeah.
Yeah. Members, check out later in the episode. There's a members portion. We'll be talking about many things, many items, including Swedish House Mafia, apparently not having the comeback they really wanted to.
Yeah.
Fireworks going off at a Dua Lipa Toronto show. Shakira gets a wonderful Audio Face. This isn't even an award. This is just like a plaque you get by your name that you just like get throughout the year that we just love to give people. So if you're an Audio Face fan, you'll love what that is. And Migos might be breaking up. Huh. All right, check that out in the members portion.